Rose McIntyre Nash died peacefully in her sleep at age 98, and now I carry part of her with me wherever I go. I do not mean that figuratively. She's inside a small wooden box tucked away in my backpack as we speak. Not all of her, of course. Jeffrey Nash wasn't about to hand over his entire grandmother to the weird girl who lived in her spare bedroom. But Jeffrey was kind enough to give me 3 tablespoons of her ashes. Again, not figurative. He portioned her out with a measuring spoon from the kitchen. Probably not the request he was expecting when he asked if I'd like something to remember her by, but he didn't seem to mind too much. I think he was mostly relieved I didn't want her highly collectible radioactive fiesta wear. Geez, this is making me sound like a total wackadoo. I'm not, though, I promise. I know that's exactly what a wackadoo would say, but I'm really just a relatively normal person who happens to be traveling to Key West with a small amount of human remains. I'm going about this all wrong. Let me start at the beginning. Mrs. Nash had been living in apartment 1B for almost 70 years when my boyfriend and I moved into apartment 1A. Thanks to rent control, she was paying like $5 a month for her 2-bedroom between DuPont and Logan Circles. And we became fast friends because I am a damn delight, and so was she. So when Jeffrey and the rest of the extended family began fretting over her living alone around the same time things with Josh imploded, I moved in with Mrs. Nash. It was the perfect situation. Jeffrey let me live there for practically nothing, in exchange for cleaning, cooking, running errands, accompanying Mrs. Nash to her medical appointments, and generally attending to his grandmother's needs. But mostly what Mrs. Nash needed was friendship, which I was more than happy to provide, since that's mostly what I needed too. Well, one day about 3 months ago, we were in the living room, me sprawled on the Persian rug with some book on the War of 1812 I was reading for work, and Mrs. Nash sitting with her eyes closed in her favorite threadbare chair, the sunlight covering her plump little body like a blanket. She appeared to be napping, but suddenly her cornflower blue eyes fluttered open and she sat up straighter. "Millie," she said, with a sense of urgency in her voice that sent a jolt of panic up my spine. I was relieved, albeit momentarily confused, when she continued, "I would like to tell you about the love of my life. We met during the war. Her name was Elsie." Anyway, that's the ultra-abbreviated version of how I wound up here, sitting cross-legged on the floor at National Airport, waiting to board a plane to Miami with a bit of Mrs. Nash in my backpack. There's a lot more to the story, of course, but right now I'm a bit too distracted to tell it properly. A man across the gate's waiting area keeps glancing my way when he thinks I'm not looking. Like he thinks he might know me from somewhere and is trying to figure it out. That's nothing new. People still recognize me sometimes, even though I haven't been on TV since I was 14. It's not a big deal when they do, since I'm about as extroverted as they come. Usually the way this situation plays out is they approach me, saying something like, "Hey, aren't you that girl from that show?" Then I respond, "If you mean the actually kind of problematic kids show from the early aughts about the time-traveling redhead and her poorly rendered CGI lizard companion, then yes, that's me. Millicent Watts Cohen, also known as Penelope Stewart on Penelope to the Past." Then they say, a little sheepishly, "Right, yeah, that show was awesome and you were great in it." Except I know they are lying because the show was terrible. The history it taught was inaccurate at best and flat out offensive at worst. The special effects sucked. And I was never talented at acting so much as at having a cute face and a good memory. Sometimes they'll mention a Penelope episode they claim was their favorite, but it's usually a conflation of 2 or more, or even a different show altogether. I never bother correcting them, just smile and nod. And I'll usually agree to a selfie when they say, "Oh my God, my friend, sibling, partner, parakeet will never believe this." Because it keeps them from taking an unflattering, stealthy pic of me eating a corn dog a few minutes later, and also staves off the biannual tabloid rumors that I've died from huffing glue.